You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Hey, for those who don't know me, my name is Tawny Burgess, and I'm one of the teachers here at Real Church. And thanks to the spiritual authority of Pastor Nathan, I get to come up here and introduce our new series we've already talked about, Call and Response. I'm so excited to talk about this sermon series and to start it off because I love scripture. Surprise. Okay, so I'm going to give you some context before I jump into Revelation. We're going to talk a little bit about why are we doing this new sermon series. So in 2017, us as a leadership team got together and we were talking about how can we get more scripture into service? How can we help the people who attend get as much familiarity with scripture as possible? Because for some, unfortunately, the only time you get scripture is on Sunday. The rest of the week, you don't read it. So Sunday, we're like, let's just try to like fill it up as much as possible, right? And so Nick was tasked with figuring out what are like 12 verses from the Bible that kind of hits all the different genres, all the big moments in the Bible that is good for the church to know. And that's when we started doing responsive reading. So Shay just led us right now in it. And what's been amazing to see is the people who have come up to do it. Originally, it was Nick and I doing it. It was like, you guys get up there. And it was, all right, please, please, Lord, bring more people up here to do this. Because it's actually one of the easiest things to do. You just have to know how to read. So some of you guys don't know how to read yet. But in the future, Aslani, I'm looking at you. You might be up here reading. Yeah. Because at Real Church, we're not a church that is here to entertain you. While sometimes we're kind of funny, it's kind of entertaining at times, but we are a church that is a training church. We're a discipling church. We're a church that asks you to come up and to use your gifts. And that's what's great about this ministry of responsive reading is if you feel led to do it, talk to Nick. This is now becoming an advertisement for this ministry. But yes, talk to Nick. Because what's great is our churches, we have so many opportunities to serve, right? If I just look at Sunday service as a whole, right? We have people who come and set up. That's a way of worshiping God. We have the worship team who comes up here and sings songs, right? That's the way that we worship. Responsive reading, reading scripture together is a form of worship. Taking communion is a form of worship. Teaching is a form of worship. Even fellowship, coming in early, coming in, staying late, that is a form of worship. And that's our church, right? All of 2019 had been about who are we as a church? What do we believe? What are our values? We value discipleship, we value community, we value training. And we give opportunities for you to do that. We went through the Shape series. We went through the Impact series. We were trying to figure out, who are you? How did God make you, right? And how can you make an impact? So this is just a long commercial to say, you guys can come up here and to do responsive reading, and I encourage you to do it. And this is why we're doing this, right? We are going into scripture in the next 3 months because these are words that we have been repeating for the last couple years. Some of you guys don't even know that. You're like, what? I've been reading this scripture for 2.5 years? Yes. Yes, you have. And for some of you, you've already memorized it. You're like, oh yeah, I know this one. I'm going to finish the sentence before anyone else's, before the slide gets up there. I know what that word is. And other people are like, what's this? I never read this. And then your wife's like, we read this 2 weeks ago. And you're like, I don't know. Like, it went in the ear and went out the other, as Shay said, right? So the sermon series is giving us an opportunity to dive deeper into what we're repeating, to know why we are saying what we are saying, so that it's not that you need to memorize it, though I encourage that. What it is it's when opportunities come up in your life, when you are having a horrible day and you need something to anchor you. You have these words as reminders of truth, of power, of strength, of courage, of hope, that you can go to it and go, no, God's got this. Especially Revelation, we're going to get into it. And you guys already read it already, so it's not like too much of a surprise that God's victorious. God's got it. He's going to wipe away every tear. So when you're in the pain, you can remember that. Like, this is temporary. God's going to wipe away all the tears. We're also memorizing scripture that's full of hope and full of joy and thankfulness and gratitude. So again, when you hit those moments when life is going great, you can actually use scripture to worship back to God and to praise him. Instead of saying, thanks, God, you can actually grab scripture and go, no, this is what you say about yourself. I'm going to repeat that back to you and honor you. So that's what we're doing for the next 3 months. So I'm going to kick off the first one, which is Revelation 21, 1 through 6. Okay. This is a big one. And my goal is to not break the record of the world's longest sermon, okay? But it's up to God, ultimately. But my goal is not to do that. So I'm going to give you some high points, and then my hope is that you'll be able to take some of what I say and do a Bible study on your own. Or you can talk to me, and we can get coffee, and we can geek out together, because I'm always up for that, too. Okay? So I'm going to lead us in prayer first before we jump in. Father God, thank you for your word that brings life and salvation. Let your Holy Spirit be present as we go through your scripture. Teach us what we need to know. Remind us of what we have forgotten, and keep us from distractions. Let this all be for your glory. Amen. Okay, so the scripture we're reading, Revelation 21, I'm going to read it again because I want to get it soaked in your head, in your heart, right? And I'm going to read it again and probably again. Who knows? I don't know how many times God's going to have me read it. But I think it's really important because I think this scripture we forget a lot. We let the world tell us something the opposite. So I'm going to read it. Verse 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Amen. I absolutely love this scripture. When I found out I get to teach on it, I was elated. Mainly because, I'll tell you a little story of my relationship with Revelation 21. 10 years ago, I was in seminary, and I took this eschatology class, which is just a fancy way of saying end of things for all humankind. You know, very uplifting class. It's like, let's learn about how humankind ends. Yay. And I walked in thinking, like, well, this is going to be a depressing, you know, 4 hours once a week for 3 months. Like, let's do this. And it ended up being the most hope-filled class I've ever taken. It completely changed my life. I absolutely adored that class. And one of the projects we had to do is we had to memorize Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. And up to that point, I thought, I'm never memorizing an entire chapter. Like, what? This is crazy. And he had us do it. And every single day, I had to drive I had to sit in 2-hour traffic to class, and I would just sit in traffic repeating the verses over and over and over and over again. And it started to come alive to me. I started finally understanding it. God was giving me these like visions of what it looked like because I'm such a visual person that it was, oh, this is what this looks like and this is what's happening here. And we'd have to go into class and we'd have to repeat it to a bunch of people, which I don't even like public speaking, let alone 10 years ago, I didn't like public speaking. And I'm in this class and I'm walking up and mainly, most of the people in this class are already pastors. They're just getting their degree. They're already, like, legit. So I'm walking up as, like, one of the only females in the class. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to read Revelation 21 to you. And it was amazing because it started to come alive to me. It started to be this shield and this weapon that I was using constantly. And I still use it constantly. as someone who suffers with depression, this is something that has completely changed the way I live. Because whenever I start to go through those dark moments, right, where you're like, everything's hopeless, I'm falling into despair, the world's falling apart, politics, you know, just anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. God's like, what did I tell you? Remember what I told you. It's like, oh yeah, you got it. It's fine. I don't need to fear. I don't need to be afraid anymore. And as we're going into this new decade, this new year, some of us were coming in with just like, the possibilities are going to be amazing. It's a new decade. For some people, they're getting married, right? It's exciting, right? You're like, oh my gosh, the possibilities. There's so many exciting things that are happening. I'm finishing school. I'm going to become a teacher. There's so many things that you get that you're excited for, right? And that's good. But then there's other people coming into 2020 that are just thinking, I just survived the 10s. I don't want the 20s. Like, I'm tired. The world's falling apart. Did you see that tweet? Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, what's happening? Jesus, come. Jesus, come. You know? But then you're not asking for Jesus to come for the right reasons. You're asking him to come to relieve your pain, right? Which is ultimately the goal, I think, for most human beings is, like, I don't feel pain anymore. So, yeah, come. Just show up. Not recognizing what that actually means when Jesus does come. Think of all the people who don't know him. They're going to be in pain for eternity then, which is really hard because I struggle with that, right? Where it's like, yes, Jesus, come. And I'm like, but save everybody first. Like, all the people I love, save them. Okay, yeah, you also love the enemies. Save the enemies too. Okay, you know, can you just like wait a little longer because people are really stubborn? And, you know, fine, come in your own timing. I can't control you, right? And that's when we get to Revelation 21. It's recognizing that. It's God is the one who is finishing all things, right? God is the one creating all things. God is the one wiping away all the tears. He's the one in control. And it's his timing that we do this, that we celebrate that. And we're remembering, came out of Advent, right? Where we celebrate that Jesus is born. And that gives us hope that Jesus is going to return. And that's when we were reading Revelation, we can remember that, is that God is good on his promises. We read so much this Messiah coming. The Messiah came. He came. God is faithful. And it doesn't look the way you think it's going to look, but he's faithful. So when we read Revelation 21, we need to come with that same mindset of believers in Christ, that God is good and he's good on his word. And he's faithful, and he's going to show up. Revelation 21 is going to happen. We have to believe that. Part of the sermon is going to be, do you really believe that? Here's some tools to help you believe that. And I mean, I'm just thinking about, I had this conversation with a coworker earlier this week, where, you know, lunchroom conversations, and they were just talking about, the end of the world's happening. Like, he's just giving up. We're reading the paper, and he's just like, did you see this headline? Did you see this headline? And he was just like, I don't, what's the point? What's the point of fighting? What's the point of anything? And I stood there, and I went, it's so easy to get wrapped up into despair. It really is. It's so much harder to have hope. But that's what God has called us to, is to have hope. And he actually makes it really easy to have hope in him because he is the creator of all things. He's all powerful. If I'm going to have hope in anything, I want to have hope in him. And the world is constantly trying to find the new person, right? The new idea, the new religion, the new thing to rally around to fix us. Because we all know, the world knows that the world is groaning. It's painful. We all know that it's something's not right. There's not one person that thinks everything's great. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. No, it's not how it's supposed to be. And so we go through our life and we go from, you know, fad to fad to cliche to this person. I mean, even in the Christian world too, right? It's like, oh, this awesome speaker, this awesome pastor is going to save the world. We mess up so bad. He does not save the world. Nobody in this room saves the world. It's God. It's Jesus. Exactly. We need to remove that pressure from ourselves, right? That we are the ones who are on the throne. We're not. We see God's on the throne, not us. And what frustrates me is how we actually have the answer to the world. The world's question, right, is the world's broken. How do we fix it? And we forget Jesus. Sometimes we go, oh, well, I know the answer. I'm not going to tell them because they're going to reject me and they're going to hate me. And that's okay. Jesus tells you the world's going to reject you, but they're really rejecting him, not you. So don't take it so personal. Just let it go. Let it go. Right? In the eschatology class, we were talking about how we're going through like the history of eschatology throughout church history, about ebbs and flows. And we are living in a time where eschatology, not important to people. They don't care about it. They don't study it. The church doesn't care about the end of things. We're really focused on the now. And there's good and bad in that. If you focus on the now, you get really into, you know, compassion ministries. You get really into justice and wanting to fix the world and do good for people, which is all very good things. You see what Jesus did in his ministry. He helped people. We're also called to do that. But we forget that there's more to it than just now. That there's going to be a future. That's what we're actually moving toward. That we can actually live for the future. We actually have a future. Some people don't even think that. They're just like, you know, YOLO, that's it. Who cares about the future? I care about now. And as Christians, we have to have our mindset on the future. We can be present because the kingdom is now, but the kingdom is already in the future as well. Already, but not yet. Super fun theological term that makes no sense and lots of tension, but that is scripture. Tension, 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 tension. So, Revelation. Why is God telling us this, right? I was thinking of some reasons. I was sitting there like, all right, God, why did you tell us Revelation 21? Because you already sent us Jesus. You already gave us the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was already merciful, like in itself, super loving already. And then you give us a vision of the future, of you coming back. That's even better. Like, you even told us how it ends. This is the spoiler I want. This is amazing, right? So a couple of reasons, I would say. I'm sure there's 1,000 more. So why did God tell us this? So we will not fear. I think that's the biggest thing. I think as human beings, we fear a lot of things. We definitely fear death, which I understand. We fear the end. You fear pain. You fear war and famine and all the things that Revelation says is going to happen. So it's kind of like, okay, it's going to happen. So you don't need to fear it because it's going to happen. But I'm going to be there. I'm coming back. You don't need to worry about it. We realize that we were also created to rely on God. We read in this 21 and 22 how it's all about God, how God is the one who restores all things. We're not self-sufficient. If we were, Revelation 21 would be very different. It would be us like building the Tower of Babel, right? It's about God. He's the one in power. Also, by telling us the future, this denies the power of the future over us, which I think is incredible. We're not enslaved, but rather understand that we serve a living God who's the one true power. And also, the knowledge of power comforts us. It does. Sometimes ignorance is not bliss, right? Sometimes it's really good to know who God is, who we're serving, and how it's going to end. Especially when you're in the midst of suffering, you can find joy. So much of the New Testament talks about that. The first century church is receiving so much persecution. These letters are written to encourage them. And not just for that time period, but for us as well, is that we can read this and be encouraged. Think about how the persecution of first century churches and all throughout history in America, rural church, we're not being persecuted, thank God. But we are experiencing, I would say, is an erosion of our faith. It's an erosion of our hope. Because we get so comfortable with what the world says, right? We get so focused on what I can bring to the table, what my future is. We're coming up with all these resolutions, right, for 2020. And for most of us, we're coming at it as, what do I want? Not what does God want? What do I want? How do I build my kingdom? How can I grow my kingdom in 2020? And Revelation 21 shows us, it's not about your kingdom. Your kingdom's gonna fall. It's gonna disappear. I'm wiping it away. I'm making something new. So stop trying to build your kingdom. It's about my kingdom. God's kingdom, not mine. I should point my finger in the right direction. Because bad days are going to come. Wars will be fought. Wars are being fought. Famine's happening. Fires are happening in Australia. There's so much pain in this world. And what I want to do right now, because you're thinking, Tani, you talked about this sermon's going to be about like hope. Why are you depressing me right now? I want us to sit for a moment. And I want you to think about what is causing you pain. What are you afraid of right now? Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a fear that you're not good enough. Maybe you don't know where you're going to be in a couple months. Maybe the stresses of whatever big life event is happening is overwhelming. What is terrifying you? I want you to think about that because so much of our life is we try not to think about it. We get distracted by the comforts of this world. But right now, I'm going to ask you guys to sit, and I'll stop talking. I want you guys to sit and to think about what hurts. What pain are you running from? What fears do you have? Just think about it. I'm going to repeat the words that are like a salve. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The sea represents evil. It represents chaos, and darkness, and the unknown. All of that will be gone. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. God is with you." And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." You're not alone. You're not alone in your pain, and you're not alone when no pain is existing. He will wipe away every tear from your eye. And there will be no more death. There will be no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. For all these former things, all these things that you are fearing right now will have passed away. And God was seated on the throne and he said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Not only is he restoring and redeeming, he is making it new. Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And remember, God is the word, right? He is trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. It means it's completed. And it echoes what Jesus said, it is finished, right? We get the full completion of that. That what God set out to do, this redemption, saving us, he completed it. It is done. He says, I am, right? He is the great I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's A to Z. It's really what he's saying. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the whole story. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Spring of the water of life, right? It's redemption. It's what everyone's been calling out for, is to be restored to God. He says, I will give that to you. No payment. You don't need to die. My son already died. Take the water. That is what the scripture means. And I could spend, 10 years dissecting this. People have. There's lots of books on it. I'm not going to do that to you guys. I just want to point out a couple things that I think will help you in your own study. I have a chart, if you can put that up, Josh. So this is this chart. These are some big key words that are echoing throughout scripture that kind of come up in Revelation 21. And these are the verses. We're not going to go through the verses today. So take a picture, take some notes. We'll be sure to put them up later again. But this is kind of the big things I'm going to talk about. Because Revelation 21 is the end of a story, right? It's the end of it all, which I love that we get to start 2020 with the end, because we're keeping the end in mind, which is very powerful and actually an application point we're going to talk about later. So just a kind of quick, redemption story, salvation story in a couple minutes. This is the most bare bones, but hopefully most of you guys in this room already know the story. So it's I'm not telling you something you don't already know, which is really nice, actually. So to understand Revelation 21, you need to go to Genesis. Because so much of Genesis and Revelation, they're talking to each other. Revelation's echoing back to Genesis. If you're a scholar of Genesis, especially 1 to 3, you're going to go, oh my God, I know what he's saying. I know, and then you're going to Isaiah, and you're like, oh my gosh, but he said it here. This is super cool. Oh my gosh, does anyone know this? It's great. But we don't have the time to do that. I don't want to do that to you guys. So I'm just going to give you a quick and dirty history. So, salvation. God creates the heavens and the earth, right? Creates everything. This is all in Genesis. He creates earth, and he sets Adam and Eve in a garden called Eden. God is dwelling with man. We hear he walks through the garden. He's talking with them. So we already know that, we were made to dwell with God. Okay, something's broken now because we're not dwelling with God. Then sin happens. And what was once this kind of one world splices. What we know is heaven and earth. What we know is God's kingdom, man's kingdom, separated. But God in his mercy says, I'm not going to let that remain. This separation will not always happen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a way for us to be together. For you to dwell with me and worship me as your God, as your Father, because I created you. So what he does is he starts to make a plan. He kind of Genesis 3, and then a bit of it's like, oh, that's going to be Jesus. That's the Messiah. That's what you get. And you're like, oh, that's so cool. But we're not to Jesus yet in my little story. No, first what he does is he goes, I'm going to build a tabernacle. Moses, come here and build this tabernacle. And in the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies. And this is where the presence of God is. So you kind of get this crossover, right? We're like, oh, they're touching. There's a point in this world that they're touching, that the presence of God is in Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies. And I can't get really to it, but we talk about the priest is able to go to the Holy of Holies, just the priest, the one person. He gets to go behind the veil. And it's this thick. It's not like these curtains. It's this thick, thick veil, this thick curtain that stands between the rest of the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. Nobody can pass it. One person can. And that's how you experience the presence of God. You go to temple and you worship God. But there's still this large separation. And then God calls Solomon and says, hey, build this temple and the Holy of Holies will be in the temple. So again, another presence of God. It's these little moments that God is saying, I made this promise and I'm going to keep it. It's these little foreshadowings of what will be. This foreshadow that we're going to be in eternity together. My presence will dwell everywhere. But for now, it's going to be here. Can you be faithful enough and obedient enough to worship me in this way? Are you still going to build your own kingdom? Then God says, I'm bringing Jesus, right? And everyone's anticipating it. We just celebrated with Advent the birth of Christ. And when Jesus comes, his ministry is all about the kingdom of God. He's walking around and he's saying, the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is here. Which, it's like, what does that look like? And all of his stories, all of his parables are all about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And this is when we start to get the already but not yet, where it kind of gets confusing, where you're thinking, okay, you say the kingdom's now, but obviously there's still pain, there's suffering, and there's famine, and you're not on a throne, and everyone believes you. Like, what's happening? And Jesus is like, exactly, right? Humans, can I tell you? What can I tell you? So Jesus dies, and on his death, the veil is torn. There's now no separation between us and the presence of God. Now we are the priesthood. We can access the presence of God. And not only did that veil tear, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. One is a promise saying, here's my spirit, I'm coming back. But second, it's here's my spirit, here's my presence. You now are the temple. And we read this in 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. So it was once these two separate spheres are now starting to overlap more and more. There's more people over the centuries, billions of Christians, right? All the temple, all this presence of God. The presence of God is just moving throughout the earth. Super exciting. There is no more separation. And again, every believer in this room is the temple. The presence of God is here. As Jesus says, the kingdom is here. He truly meant it. In this room, the kingdom is here. So whenever Revelation 21 happens, because we don't know, this is when the new earth and the new heavens will appear. And it's not going to look the same, right? We try to figure it out all the time. I think the problem people have with Revelation is they spend way too much time trying to decode it, trying to understand the symbols, trying to understand the numbers, trying to understand the timeline. Again, all of that's control. And that's not the point of it. The point is to know who God is and know how faithful he is. That's what we're supposed to be reading. Not going, oh, but what's my part to play in this story? How awesome am I? I'm going to figure out who this Antichrist is. All of that. No, that's not your role. Your role, as we read in Revelation 21, is to get your tears wiped away. That's your role. Super awesome. We are children of God, right? We're not his ruler. The point is, God's going to restore all things. And we see the tabernacles, we see Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit. All these are instances of God saying, I am faithful. Do you trust me? Do you trust that Revelation 21 is going to happen? That I'm going to create all things new? Do you trust that? The real question is, do you believe that? We can easily say, I believe that. I memorized it. I know it. But do you live your life differently because you know it? That's really the question. So let's apply this. As you notice, I didn't really have any points, so now I got some points for you. Live with the end in mind. Pastor Nathan has been telling us this for a while in ministers training and leadership group about living with the end in mind, planning with the end in mind. It's really good, solid advice, right? For a lot of us, we're coming up with those resolutions. The question you have to ask yourself is, okay, how do I want to look like in December 2020? At the end of this year, what do I want different? Do I want more money? Do I want to, like, get married? What do I want? And then how do I move my life to live that way? It's great for a resolution building. And I think we need to do the same thing as Christians, is that we need to live with Revelation 21 in mind. That's the end, right? And it's going to be different for each person in this room. I don't know what God's going to tell you, what changes you need to make in 2020 to live differently, to live as a person of hope, as a person of faith, to have courage. Because that's what's so great, right? Is reading this, is realizing I can have courage because God's got it. I actually don't need to be afraid anymore. That I can put myself out on the line because it's okay. It's fine. It will not destroy me. Nothing, as we know, can destroy us. Only God can. God's got our back, which is awesome. So think of areas in your life where you need this hope, where you need this courage to go on. Maybe make a list, a goal. I don't know. Some of you guys like goals. Some of you guys don't. I get it. I like goals. I'm not really good at keeping them, but I like them. We also need to remember that it's not about you. It's about God. It's point number two. I know it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason because it's true. We see in scripture that God is doing all the work. We look at it and we're like, God is so awesome. But then how am I going to fit into this? And what am I going to be doing in heaven? What does my future look like? It's like, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about worshiping him. The icing on the cake is that we get to be with him. We get to be in his presence. We get to witness his greatness, truly. We get to actually be restored. We actually get what we really want, is to be restored. And yes, that hurts our ego, because we like to make everything about us. But ultimately, you can breathe. You're not carrying the weight of the world. Salvation does not depend on you. You're not bringing the kingdom in. No matter what you do, it's up to God. It's God's spirit's moving. It's not you. So breathe, relax. I think it's harder when the world gets crazier because we do know Revelation 21. So then we're thinking, okay, it's getting crazy. It's God's going to come back. And then you're like, yeah. Let me make it a little crazier so that God will come back. Let me just throw my anxiety into the pit and then see if he comes back sooner. No, don't do that. Instead, breathe. Trust him. Just breathe. Remember, the kingdom is at hand. It's already here. You don't really need to do anything. Just be obedient to what God's telling you to do. And number three, seek his presence now. So much of it we think now or future, and God's saying it's both, right? We get to experience the parts of it now. So go and enjoy his kingdom. Go and enjoy his presence. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the fellowship of other believers. Because again, we're the temple. Spend time in the temple. Spend time with each other. The veil is broken. The presence of God is now. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to continue our worship. Sorry. And we're going to apply point three, which is seeking his presence now. We're going to do something a little different. It's going to be instrumental for a bit. Who knows how long? God will control that. But what I want to do is I want to give us more time to sit in his presence. Because for so many of us, we're going to repeat words that maybe we believe, maybe we don't believe, and then you're going to walk out, or you're going to think about plans for your lunch and how the rest of the week is going to go. But the kingdom of God is at hand now. The presence of God is here now. Experience him now. Don't plan to meet with him later. Say, okay, tonight we'll pray. How about right now you pray? So as we sit here, just be in his presence. Breathe. Any fears that you had, the fears that I made you think of earlier, bring them back to God and say, God, here, you got this. I trust you. Help me to believe that you are who you say you are. So I'm going to pray for us, and I'll be done. Father, you are King. As a minister of the word, I confess on behalf of Real Church that we do not always live our lives like we believe that what you say is true. That you are King. That you are the Alpha and the Omega. That you are making all things new. That you will return and wipe away every tear. God, help our unbelief. Help us to live what we believe. God, we give this time to you. Align our hearts to thee and tune in our ears to hear you. Thank you, God. In your son's precious name, amen.